We turn now to Amal Saad Ghoryab, who teaches at the Lebanese American University in Beirut and is the author of the book Hezbollah, Politics and Religion. As an expert on Hezbollah, she is regularly in touch with senior members of Hezbollah, and she's here to discuss Hezbollah's role in the post-conflict Lebanon. Hello.
Good morning.
As we just heard, the leader of Hezbollah has gone on television, promised to help rebuild the country, encourage the Lebanese people to work together, and sounding very much like a national leader, at least a governor of a state.
Actually, this has been the case throughout this conflict, to fill in the vacuum left by the state, first of all, militarily, and now, of course, in terms of reconstruction and social services.
Lebanon's prime minister may have warned against having a mini-state in the country's midst, but can the government, the real government, compete against this?
Well, let me just first, you know, point out something here, that back in the 1980s when Hezbollah emerged, there was no state, actually. There were many mini-statelets, if you like, and that was the case throughout much of the civil war. Even now, actually, the state is very weak in terms of providing for its citizens, and this has been the case since the foundation of the Lebanese state.
Turning to the whole question of weapons, Hezbollah is balking at surrendering its weapons at this point in time. The prime minister's already said the Lebanese army's mission is not to disarm Hezbollah. When and under what circumstances would Hezbollah disarm?
Well, this is a very difficult question to answer in just one sentence, because Hezbollah remains very tight-lipped about this. But in fact, you know, when probed in interviews, they believe Hezbollah should remain armed so long as Israel remains a threat to Lebanon.
Of course, which would suggest as long as Israel exists.
Well, no one in Hezbollah has actually ever said that, so long as Israel exists. That's never been publicly said. I think one should tie it more to the absence of a comprehensive regional peace agreement. I mean, the problem is that Lebanon can't sort of distance itself from the wider Arab-Israeli conflict, and that even if these issues are resolved in Lebanon, you know, Hezbollah and many Muslims in the Arab world would still feel that the conflict is ongoing, that Israel remains a threat, especially if Israel is seen as, for example, committing massacres of Palestinians in Gaza and elsewhere. So the threat would remain, in their opinion. What we should remember, though, is that Lebanon, before this conflict, the Lebanese were engaged in a national dialogue. These were talks aimed at addressing, you know, some very important issues, one of which was Hezbollah's arms, you know, what kind of defense strategy Lebanon needed. And these Lebanese politicians were currently in the throes of that debate. And I think now Hezbollah, given its very impressive, by most standards, military performance in this conflict, and given that Israel really had no problem destroying much of Lebanon and killing many civilians, many Lebanese will be inclined to feel that Israel really is a threat to Lebanon.
Is Hezbollah's military capacities weakened, damaged, more than it's willing to admit?
You know, the Israeli claims have been very exaggerated. Hezbollah claiming that around 84, I think, fighters were killed. Israel is claiming, you know, in the hundreds. I find that very hard to believe, because these fighters work in very small units. And in Lebanon, because it's such a small community, it's very difficult to hide losses. Everyone knows everyone else. And Hezbollah makes a big show of these mourning rituals when it buries the dead. So it can't really hide the deaths of tens or hundreds of fighters. Everybody would know about it if that were the case.
Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Amal Saad Ghoryab teaches at the Lebanese American University and is author of the book Hezbollah, Politics and Religion.